All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I just want to play the last 30 seconds of that last video. This is from David Azarad. This is at the National Review Conservative Conference, right? But he really sort of lets cat out of the bag on this one. Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to say it this blatantly. I also do think it's telling that you've got this guy talking about, you know, America and how to run our country and all this crap. And he's like, and by the way, I'm just learning English. Sorry if I don't know the right words. Like, yeah, okay. So this is a foreigner. He doesn't care about America. He doesn't even speak English, apparently. But he's going to tell us what America's about. He's going to tell us who we have to support. I mean, this is the absurdity of all of this. But let's go back. Just listen to the last 30 seconds. This is it. This is the truth. Like, he's telling the truth here. They can't beat Tucker Carlson in a debate. Now, they say it's because his side is impervious to facts. It's like, what are you talking about? That's crazy. I mean, if there's one side that's impervious to facts, it's a side that still thinks there are 40 babies in ovens in, Israel that thinks that, I mean, just the list could go on. They are literally impervious to facts. Here's David Azarad talking about the retard right. And how some reason, the I assume smart, intelligent right that he puts himself in, they can't beat the retards in arguments. Isn't that weird? Let's watch.
But you are not going to convince Tucker Carlson. I think what you need to do is humiliate him. That is, I don't know if the Babylon Bee guys are here. That is very powerful, is mockery. There should be arguments, but there also has to be mockery, like what you did with Nick Fuentes. Like, he's a gay little Mexican who's never kissed a girl. That needs to be said more on the internet. You're not going to say, well, actually, JFK was not assassinated by the Mossad. They're not dealing in the realm of facts. If I may adapt a line from Ben Shapiro, their feelings don't care about your facts.
And how's that working out for you? And how's that going? Oh, Nick Fuentes will never recover. I mean, I get it. I get that you've got bots and people pay that anytime anybody mentions Nick Fuentes, you call him a gay little Mexican. You've been doing it for years. How's that going? How's that working out for you? Is it working? Is it going well? Has he gone away? Has he been humiliated? Or is the humiliating thing how desperate you people are and how you actually don't have arguments to make? What would be the argument that JFK wasn't killed by Mossad? What's the argument? We can have that argument. I'd love to have that argument. You think he wants to have that argument? Which side wants to argue about this stuff? Which side wants to talk about this stuff? And which side is reporting Tucker Carlson to the CIA? Which side wants to actually have these conversations and look at the facts and have the difficult decisions being made? And which side is the side that is entirely propped up by a fake establishment that silences anybody that disagrees with them? I mean, this whole thing is just ridiculous. It really is. And you've got this guy who doesn't even speak English telling us who we need to allow in our movement. You've got Laura Loomer, who is solely dedicated to her own people and the Israeli state. You've got Shabbos Kestenbaum trying to gatekeep for the right. The man is still, to this day, a registered Democrat. What the hell are we talking about? Listen, the maverick of the right, the icon of conservatism, he's the bad guy. He's the one that we should all be watching out for. He's the one that needs to be humiliated. No, that's an admission of defeat. That's an admission that you can't, despite controlling all of the media, despite having the White House in your pocket, despite all of this stuff, he's still winning because he has the truth on his side and because he's sincere and everybody recognizes that. And so you can't defeat him in the realm of information. You can't defeat him in the realm of facts. Your only hope is to try to humiliate him. And that's not working because nobody likes or trusts you. And you are the humiliating and embarrassing ones. What are you going to humiliate Tucker Carlson about? His laugh is kind of silly. I think he knows. Okay, that's not going to work. Because while you might be trying to make him seem humiliated and embarrassed, he does a pretty good job of making you people seem like absolute psychopath, evil, and dangerous. So I'm going to stay with the silly guy who's trustworthy and good and be against the not silly psychopaths.
Harrison. Listen, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There's a congressman down in Florida representing the space coastline. He tweets all day about bombs away and standing without eyes so fine.
The crew just threw this together. This is fantastic. Big Fat Randy Fine got his own theme song now. What a fat idiot, traitor, scumbag. All right. We got a lot to still talk about. I'm going to be joined in studio by Rex Jones in the next segment. So we'll do the second half of the show with Rex here. We'll probably take calls a little bit as well. I'm going to save Mark Levin for Rex. I have a feeling he's going to want to talk about that. I know he's going to want to talk about it because he was literally texting me last night. Dude, did you see Mark Levin? I'm like, yes, we will talk about it. So let's talk about the Strait of Hormuz, I guess. I mean, I don't even know what there is to say. It's like, once again, I don't know, man. It's like something happens. I do a show like the next day, and then we just like play that show on repeat for the next 2 years. It's exhausting, but it's just like none of this stuff is hard to figure out. It's all just like imminently there for you to seize onto. And then we just have to watch it play out. And then we just sit back and we just watch as it comes to fruition. It's so frustrating. Again, October 9th, 2023. Chase Geyser and I sat there and laid out exactly how what was happening would lead to World War III, how it would end with Iran being attacked, how Israel would suffer under. I mean, it's just we just laid it out perfectly because it was obvious because it's the only way things could possibly go. Iran is the same way. It's like, shouldn't start a war with them. They're going to be able to close the Strait of Hormuz. We don't have any way of opening the Strait of Hormuz. They have all these ballistic missiles. They're going to be able to do significant damage to all of our bases. Like, you're telling me the Pentagon planners didn't know about any of this? It's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's absurd. And frankly, it is like humiliating for the United States. Nobody is helping us. Nobody wants to help us. And nobody really needs to help us. Like, they can just work with Iran. We're being boxed out of the Middle East. It's pretty crazy. It really is. Trump knew the risk of blocking the Strait of Hormuz. He still went to war. And I'm telling you, some of the statements he made today, we'll go to some of these statements he was asked about the war today. And you would think, I mean, we're like 3 weeks in almost. Like, this is the third week. Last Friday was, or last Saturday, midnight around that time was like the 2 week. So we're now like over 2 weeks into the third week of this war. You would think this would be enough time for them to solidify messaging and like get their act together. They're not, though. So the only question is like, okay, are they actually just completely out of their depth? Like, are we in danger right now? Because really, it really is just like they have no way out of this. They have no off ramp. Okay, is that the situation? Because that's sort of how it seems at this point. It's just like, it's so bad they can't even pretend. They can't even put a good face on it. You would think after 3 weeks, they'd be able to come out and go, here's what we hit today. Here's what we hit tomorrow. Here's what we're doing the day after that. They don't have anything. They have nothing. And what they're saying is just like, it not only is doubling down on the things that were said early on in the conflict that were then reversed. You'll see what I mean. I mean, they're all over the place. And I think at the end of the day, it's just, again, the worst decision anybody's ever made to go to war with Iran. And Trump explains a little bit why he chose to go to war with Iran, only his explanation doesn't really help. It actually only kind of obfuscates everything. Let's go to clip clip 28 here. This is a reporter talking to Trump, asking about the Israeli invasion of Lebanon, which is starting, and they've just called in 450,000 reservists to try to basically ethnically cleanse 10% of Lebanon, 200,000 people who are forced to evacuate their homes because Israel put leaflets saying, please leave your home, we're about to bomb you. Now, then those people left, then they bombed them on the beach, and now they're saying, actually, you can never go back home. Thank you for leaving. You can never go back. It's ours now. Again, just totally, totally brutal. I'll bring you some more stuff about Lebanon here in just a second. But clip 28 here, here's a reporter asking Trump about the invasion of Lebanon by Israel.
Israel is expected to expand its ground offensive in southern Lebanon to go after Hezbollah. Have you discussed that with Israeli leaders?
Yeah.
And does the United States support a potential Israeli invasion of Lebanon?
Yeah, no, I did. And I know, look, Hezbollah is a problem. It's been a problem for a long time, not just now. And it's a certain area, because I was with the other night a person whose parents live in Lebanon. This is a very substantial person, wealthy person, whose parents live in Lebanon. I said, really? How do you live in Lebanon? Your parents are living? Oh, yeah, they live there. And over the years, they've gotten used to the fact that it's being bombed. But they explained to me that it's really a different section of Lebanon. It's the section where Hezbollah is. And they get used to it, I guess. I don't know. I mean, people live in Ukraine. You would think they wouldn't live in Ukraine, but they live in Ukraine. I don't know that I'd do that, but they live in Ukraine. They live in Lebanon. Hezbollah is a big problem, and they're rapidly being eliminated. Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't even know what to make. I don't even know what to make of that. It's like, yeah, dude, they live in Lebanon. What are you talking about? It's like, I guess they live there. I guess they like the bombs. I guess they like being bombed. I don't know what to tell you. I don't like being bombed. They like it. They enjoy being bombed. They wouldn't live where Israel's bombing them if they didn't like it, right? What the hell are you talking about? Did I mishear that? He's literally, when he's asked about Israel attacking Lebanon, his answer is, I don't know why people live in Lebanon. Let me just run that by you again. When asked about Israel bombing the crap out of Lebanon, Trump's response is to question why people live in Lebanon. What the hell are you talking about, Trump? They live there. It's their home. They've been there for 5,000 years. And like, kind of, it's kind of telling you, he's like, I wouldn't live there. It's like, yeah, I guess not. I guess if push came to shove, you would just leave. I guess it wouldn't be good for you to stay and fight for your people who don't have the chance to leave. I guess you would abandon them. Good point, Trump. I'm just like flabbergasted. I'm shocked at that answer. What do you think about Israel attacking Lebanon? And his answer is like, Lebanon likes being bombed. What can I say? They love being bombed. Israel's got to do what they want, what Lebanon wants. They say, bomb me, Israel. Bomb us more. You haven't bombed us in too long. I don't know. I don't get it. I wouldn't ask to be bombed. Okay, dude. Okay. What the hell are you talking about? Like, do you understand what I'm saying? Say what you want about Iran. Lebanon's not chanting death to America. Lebanon is a multi-faith republic. A third of Lebanon is Christian. There are 150 small towns in the area that Israel is ethnic cleansing, and a huge portion of them are 100% Christian. They're Christian villages being attacked and eliminated. They don't have Hezbollah. Again, it's just like, what does he think is happening? I guess they get used to it. Yeah, I guess you have to. I guess because there's nothing you can do as a regular Lebanese citizen. There's nothing you can do as an individual Lebanese person about your apartment building being blown into dust in the middle of the night by an Israeli airstrike. What do you suggest they do other than just get used to it? Fight back? You mean join Hezbollah? I mean, it's like, what? This is the thing. This is why it's like, I mean, there's like little hints occasionally that there could be something to the QAnon kind of. I was like joking about it on the Alex Jones show today, saying to Trump, like, this is your one option now. Trump has one option left, and it is to turn on Israel. It's the only option. The only option he has at this point to save not only his own reputation, the nation of America, the Republican Party, his only option now is to pretend like this was all on purpose, is to say, we wanted to get out of the Middle East, but I didn't want to leave all of the expensive equipment we had there, so we tricked Iran into bombing it. We tricked Iran into bombing our bases so that we could get out of the Middle East, just like I promised. I said we'd get out of the Middle East. We're getting out. You just didn't expect me to do it like I did you? You didn't think I was smart enough to be driven out of the Middle East, but I was. I was. And Israel was trying to mess with us, so I said, maybe I'll let Iran bomb them a little bit. Maybe I'll let Bibi deal with the consequences of his little war. So I told Iran, why don't you bomb Tel Aviv for a little while? So I let him bomb Tel Aviv. I don't in a million years think that's going to happen, but that it would kind of be a good solution, wouldn't it? I mean, it's not going very well for Israel. It seems like what the Israeli media is hyper fixated right now on is trying to prove that Benjamin Netanyahu is even alive still. And they're not doing a great job at convincing everybody of that. So, you know, we get to that in just a second. But there's another story that I want to get to that I'll save for when Rex is here, because I want to like puzzle it out in real time. I want to like have a back and forth conversation with him about it, because it's the Wall Street Journal saying that the only people that knew America was going to attack Iran when we did were Hegseth Rubio, General Dan Kane, and Hegseth Rubio, Vance, and Trump. I think maybe there was one more, but there's not a single Jewish person in the list. And it's essentially saying that, like, they're the only ones that knew, which I don't even know how you could believe that. Like, it doesn't even make sense, right? Who's the other person? Besant? No, it wasn't Besant. Besant wasn't there. And so what they're claiming is that, like, they're like, it was a single group chat with these guys, and they decided unilaterally to go to war with Iran and didn't tell anybody. And even the diplomats in America didn't know that it was about to happen, which I think would mean that, like, I said... online, like, well, I don't think this is true, but if it is, it would change everything. Because then that would mean, like, what they're insinuating is that Kushner and Witkoff, when they're negotiating with Iran, they were negotiating in good faith. They really thought they were negotiating with Iran. You're telling me that Kushner and Witkoff didn't know that they were playing a role and that they were being set up, basically? Because that's what that would mean, right? So if that was true, that might actually contribute to the idea that, like, wait, is this all 4D chess? Like, I don't think it is. I really don't. But occasionally there's little things like that. That's like, wait, Hegseth Rubio, and Vance decided to do this. Kushner wasn't involved, and Witkoff wasn't involved, and Huckabee wasn't involved. Like, it just doesn't even make sense. But if it's true, like, it could change the whole shade of this. But then you see videos like that, and it's like, this isn't a 5D chess. Trump literally doesn't understand the people in Lebanon can't leave or don't want to leave and shouldn't have to leave. Like, it's truly, truly inexplicable. People in Lebanon just get used to being bombed, and so I guess they like it. Okay. Only a small group was looped into the preparations for Iran, including J.D. Vance, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and Hegseth. That narrowed the advice, information, and ideas available to the president, who had to balance the many downsides of the attack. The small group arrangement was by design, administration officials said. It allowed Trump to respond quickly to shifting developments and was similar to how the president handled the strikes on three Iranian nuclear sites in June. Another reason was to contain leaks, officials said. Okay, so then how did you coordinate the attacks with Israel? Like, it just doesn't make sense. It's crazy. I think what's more likely is it's going so badly, they just gave you the list of people who this will be blamed on, and they will have their political careers destroyed over this, while the people that actually put it into motion, like Kushner, is making billions of dollars and is going to, you know, skate away from this scot-free. So I think it's all a complete scam. I think they are setting up their puppets to take the blame, take the fall, when this thing turns out as badly as it was always intended to go. That's what I think is happening. Because then you hear Trump talk about it, and it's like, this dude doesn't, he's not pulling tricks on anybody. He's not pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. The man thinks that Lebanese people enjoy being bombed. I don't know if you can predict anything he's going to think. It's just like, this is a madman. Let's go to clip 29 here. This one's interesting. This one's really interesting. And actually, I think we have time. Before we go to clip 29 here, we can go to the thing it's being asked about, which is that David Sachs mentioned, maybe I didn't pull in the video, but I'll pull up the story here in just a second. David Sachs mentioned that he was worried that Israel might use a nuke. And this is very interesting because officially, Israel doesn't have nukes. So when you have a top Trump advisor, David Sachs, talking openly about the fact that Israel has and is willing to use nuclear weapons, that's an interesting development. And then Trump is asked about it, and it gets more interesting still. Let's go to clip 29.
He also warned that if the conflict escalates, Israel may contemplate the use of a nuclear weapon. Has he shared that assessment with you?
No, yes. And Israel wouldn't do that. Israel would never do that. And there's a theory. You pounded them to hell and you could just leave now and it'll take 10 years for them to build back not nearly what they have right now. And I guess that's another theory, but we want.
Okay, so they have a nuclear weapon is what you're saying. Basically, you're acknowledging that Israel does have a nuclear weapon. Now, call me crazy, but, you know, Trump just said right there, again, no holds barred, no caveat, no wiggle room. He said, Israel won't do that. But he also said Israel won't annex the West Bank, and they are, in fact, violently annexing the West Bank. So I don't think Trump is in a place to say they won't use nuclear weapons. I don't think he has the ability to stop them if they wanted to. So I would be worried about that. I am worried about that, especially since Tel Aviv continually gets bombarded by Iranian missiles that are evading the Iron Dome. It's hard to tell exactly how often that's happening because it's all censored, but it's absolutely not going well for them. Let's go to clip 23 here. This is Trump again commenting on what was behind the attack on Iran that we launched retardedly. Let's watch.
Their energy. They should come and they should help us protect it. You could make the case that maybe we shouldn't even be there at all because we don't need it. We have a lot of oil. We were the number one producer anywhere in the world times two, by double, at least double. Now I think it's much higher than that. but we do it. It's almost like we do it for habit. But we also do it for some very good allies that we have in the Middle East.
We do it out of habit? He just said we went to war with Iran because it's a habit that we're in? Yeah, it's getting worse, folks. It is actually getting worse. And again, he's like, and some allies that we have in the region. Just to remind us once again, yes, this is about Israel. Yes, it is absolutely and 100% driven by concern for Israel by the Trump administration, which serves Israel more than it serves America. And he just like says it over and over. I don't know. You can keep being mad at people like me or Tucker Carlson or whoever else just acknowledges what is being openly stated by the president and his top advisors and lieutenants. But yeah, it's anti-Semitic, I guess, to just understand the words being said by the people who made the decision about why they made the decision. You would think it'd be easier to figure this stuff out. So I don't know. You know, it's just like, all right, we got into this war. Oh, yeah. And so then he's talking about how other countries are going to help. Nobody's helping. Nobody's helping. Here's the list. Trump asked the world to send warships. Here's what every country said. France, they officially rejected, will not send warships. China, no response, called it a sovereign right. United Kingdom is, quote, discussing options with allies, no commitment. And actually, I don't know when this list was made, but the story today is that the UK is just like, absolutely not. We will not be joining anything having to do with the Iran war. Japan, silence. 70% of Japan's Middle East oil comes through the Strait of Hormuz, but they aren't responding. South Korea has not sent a confirmation one way or the other. Seoul is caught between Washington and its own oil dependency. Germany has also come out with a resounding rejection of the plan, saying we will absolutely not be involved in this. Norway also rejected it. Qatar has already stopped gas production, declared force majeure. Their energy minister said that this will bring down the economies of the world. The UAE, Gulf states, quote, tried to stop this war because they knew the implications. Iran, of course, is still attacking ships, still laying mines, still blocking the strait. 10 countries, zero warships. The most powerful military on the earth asked for backup and got ghosted. So that's kind of embarrassing. Germany rules out joining international military mission to protect the Strait of Hormuz. Foreign Minister Johann Waldefel said on Sunday that his country will not participate in an international military mission to protect merchant ships in the Strait of Hormuz. We will soon become an active part of this conflict? No, he told the public broadcaster. The federal government has a very clear position on this, which Chancellor Friedrich Merz and Defense Minister Boris Pistorius have made clear. We will not take part in this conflict. Okay, I wouldn't either. Good choice, Germany. Quote, UK will not be drawn into a wider war, says Starmer. The UK will not be drawn into a wider war in the Middle East, Prime Minister Keir Starmer said on Monday as tensions in the region continue. Speaking at a news conference, Starmer said his government would continue working towards a swift resolution, stressing that the priority was to bring the fighting to an end. Okay, they're not helping. Trump is now attacking Starmer for not sending warships. But of course, he knew that this was a threat the entire time and decided to do it anyway. So you tell me. You tell me what the hell's going on. Are they stupid? Is it on purpose? I think it's a mix of both. I think that the people directing Trump to do this are the same people directing him to imprison Tucker Carlson. And just like they know Tucker Carlson's not a foreign agent and they're not actually stopping foreign interference, they knew that the Iran war would be a disaster for America. That's why they pushed it. That was the purpose of it for them.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, And sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I went and did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
On Israel. Are you a boomer? You sound like a boomer to me.
You sound like you're pro Iran.
I'm pro America. I'm pro anti-foreign entanglement.
That's a pipe dream. I think our politicians today are up. That's why I gave Bernie Sanders so much money.
We came out here to West Campus looking for answers. We wanted to see how the American people felt. Were they pro or anti-war? Now, I was thinking I'd talk to a lot of younger people that were passionate about being anti-war, and there was a fair share of that, but there was also the boomer, the appearance of the wild boomer, and the debate, discussion, argument with him. What is it about? What is the soul of the boomer? Is the boomer self-loathing? Does the boomer engage in whataboutism? Why do they support Israel? Why do they support endless wars in the Middle East? Well, you're about to find out, and it's up to you to decide who you agree or disagree with. I'm Rex Jones with Gray Area, Gray Area Network, out here on the streets of Austin, Texas, getting the work in, on the field, getting things done.
Look, this whole war in Iran is a shitty proposition, but it's it is a necessary one.
Okay.
Because Iran has been a cancer in the Middle East for a long time, and this war
is
like
folks, you got to go to Rex Jones News on X to see that full video. But that, of course, was one and only Rex Jones on the streets of Austin, Texas, talking to people, finding out what the people think. He joins me in studio now to talk about all of the day's news. How was it, Rex? What was How long were you out there? What were the responses you were getting?
Man, you know how it is. Traditionally, you have to be out there for like several hours to get a really good result. I mean, he was like a legendary or shiny Pokemon. He kind of just appeared in front of us, and we kind of got what we needed to get out of the street interviews for that day. We talked to a few other people. Most people didn't want to engage with us, which confirmed my initial suspicions just after talking to friends, family, acquaintances. People still sadly don't care enough about the conflict. The war, like they don't want to acknowledge that it's going on.
Do you think that's because they had opinions about the war that they just didn't want to say, or do you think it's because they just weren't interested? Why do you think they didn't want to
talk about it? I think that's a part of it. You have a lot of people saying like free Palestine or free Gaza, but they don't want to talk to you on the street. As you kind of walk by, they'll kind of yell things like that at you, and that's very, very common in the youth culture, predominant in the youth culture, I would say. And really, you know, we were on West Campus, we're there to find younger people to talk to. It was really weird to encounter him.
Yeah.
You know, because he's like, I protested against the Vietnam War. That's why it's okay for me to be a neocon Jack. And I was like, okay, like, what are you doing here by the boba tea place? That's kind of interesting, right?
Yeah. So he was full boomer mode, like fully indoctrinated.
A powerful boomer. He'd studied history, told me five times.
Oh, no. That's not good. When boomers study history, they study all the wrong stuff. So was it a generational divide? Did you have any young people who were in favor of the war?
No, overwhelmingly, like, here's what I was saying. This was my ask, and you'll see it in the other video that I'll drop soon with the other interviews. The boomer one's like 14, 15 minutes long, so it has to be in its own tape, right? Overwhelmingly, people are anti-war. People call out Israel for being the cause of the war and dragging us into not just this conflict, but other conflicts as well. The American public is aware of this, right? And even the people that I talked to that didn't even really want to talk, they gave better arguments than this guy. This guy, what he would say, and you'll see it in the video, you watch it in full, he goes, listen, here's the thing. You're talking about death, child murder, war that we initiated, illegal war of aggression, the greatest war crime. That's what the head judge at Nuremberg said. All the other war crimes are contained inside of the illegal war of aggression. No. It's life is in living color, you see. So when you barbecue the baby, if you do it in living color, that makes it okay. All these pretty metaphors and the whataboutism, I'd say, hey, what do you think about us killing the Pope to like a quarter billion Muslims? What do you think about that? He would go, do you know about Dachau and the Holocaust? And I'd be like,
what?
Where do we go from here? And that's that generational thing, right? That's that generational permission they have to be victims over and over and over again. And it's also a savior complex. You know, we were the generation that protested against Vietnam. You don't know what you're talking about. And it's like, has the country gotten better or worse for the 50 years that you've been voting?
Seriously.
Longer. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean that, well, I'm just glad you went out and did the man on the street. I was just telling you during the break, like, I want to go out and do this because I have no idea what the average person, I mean, I know.
We used to do a ton.
We used to do it a lot. And, you know, it could be a little bit dangerous. I mean, it's pretty astonishing. We used to go out on UT campus and they would like Antifa would like,
yes,
would like find our location. They'd like triangulate us.
Try to shut it down.
Yeah. And they'd show up like 5 minutes after we got there, they would show up in masks with signs. And it's like, how do you even know that we're here?
That's dead. You know, in the modern political culture, really? I really think that's faded. Yeah. You don't have that kind of like, I would call it LARPing, you know, civil conflict between sides. You kind of just have people that are tired of the political process. No one's out there willing to fight for Trump. No one's out there willing to fight for the Antifa, at least not openly in the public like I've seen before in prior years and decades, right? It's just kind of an environment of apathy, right? Because everyone has realized now at this point that you can't vote against this stuff. Mm. And of course, you still have extremists and radical crazies everywhere. I'm not saying Antifa is dead, but it's not the same kind of civil protest argument environment that it was before.
Well, that's interesting, and it's not a surprise now that the news from Polymarket today, just in, or I guess this was, so on the 14th, it officially happened, according to Polymarket, the chance for the Senate to flip to Democrats officially overtook the possibility that it remains Republican.
Go figure.
Which I'm kind of surprised it took that long. I thought for sure it would have been flipped a while ago, but yeah, apparently the, you know, Republican Party is just tanking in popularity and for very good and obvious reason, right?
Well, isn't it interesting how the Republicans, they always make the point, like the Scott Pressler guy and guys like this, like, we need to get elected. We need to work harder to get elected. We have to have on-the-ground campaigns. We have to do grassroots outreach. And it's like, you don't do anything for the people. Why the hell would the people vote for you? And wait. We got record turnout, record in multiple demographics, young people, Black, Latino, you name it, voting for Trump, supporting the 2024 agenda. And everything that they wanted, they didn't get. So surprise, surprise, you're going to lose the House and the Senate. Cause and effect.
Yeah, I mean, They know, right? I mean, it's not like they're actually confused, are they?
No, no, no. It's like a game of musical chairs where there is no music, and if you say there's no music, we kill you. That's a Tim Dillon metaphor. I didn't make that up myself. I borrowed it from him. But I, like, that's where we are.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think it just seems so obvious to me. I just tend to think everybody who doesn't see what's going on is just pretending. I cannot believe that they...
Well, it's more fun. It's more profitable to pretend, you know, like the Brendan Dillies, the Cat Turd, the Gunther Eagleman, the Voldemort, She Who Shall Not Be Named. All of these types of people, they're making the most money. They're making the most power. They're making the most influence they've ever had in their entire lives right now. But spoiler alert, all of it is going to rapidly go away because that didn't just come to you because you were entitled to it. That was a pure energy source, a sword that we gave to Trump and the administration that they turned on us and stabbed us with.
Right.
And you don't get to pervert that because the people can take it away too.
Yeah. And we're going to, and of course the saddest thing is that is just in line with America's enemies. So it's like, cause I've been saying forever, I think that they took over the Republican Party with the intention of shutting the Republican Party down. Like, they knew that they were going to go to war with Iran, that everybody was going to hate it, and we're going to not vote for Republicans, and the Democrats are going to sweep in and destroy America through mass immigration. And that's all part of the plan, right? That's not unwanted by the people doing this.
Well,
they don't like the Republican Party.
Well, it's a horror movie. It's a zombie movie. And we had MAGA. We had this, you know, entity, that this being that we all identified with, right? They killed that. They replaced it. They shocked it. They made a Frankenstein out of it. Now it's Make Israel Great Again. MIGA. That's mm-hmm. what we're at now. It's MIGA.
Yeah, pretty much.
What the hell? Those are just some real MIGAs right there.
Yeah.
You know, real MIGA roll call.
This is from the Drunk Republican at Drunk Repub on X.
That's nice.
He says, "I don't know what's happening." He doesn't know. He doesn't know, Rex. "I don't know what's happening, but
not my Trump. Oh, not my Trump.
I do know 50 conservative gatekeepers didn't all simultaneously have the same epiphany about Israel. It's not organic. And I think it's a little strange for people who also criticized Islam for the last 25 years to suddenly begin fawning over it.
They ought to be looked into for that evil Islam." Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean, what? I mean, just the first, "I don't know what's happening." It's like, yes, you do. What are you talking about? You know what's happening.
I do not know what's happening. People protest dear leader Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un, they say he bad, he good. He make birds sing in morning. That's the same thing.
That's kind of what it is, right? Yeah, willful, like, deliberate fake ignorance about what's going on. But even this, like, 50 conservative gatekeepers didn't all simultaneously have the same epiphany. It's like, no, Israel spent the last 2.5 years bombing and ethnically cleansing an imprisoned populace. It's like insane to me that they sit here. It's like somebody slaps you in the face and is like, "Well, what, you liked me 5 minutes ago?" It's like, yeah, then you slap me in the face. Well,
we were talking about this earlier. Sorry for all the metaphors, but it really is the best way to explain it. MAGA was like this great party they told us they were taking us to. They got the limousine, they got the drinks, they got the punch, all of it. We get in the limo, we're driving there, we're drinking the Kool-Aid, we got roofied. And we wake up and they're about to do some really bad stuff that involves a train and us, okay? So we need to get out of Dodge. We're making that demand now. And who's the ringleader of the party? It's Mark Levin.
Mark freaking Levin.
Marky Mark, dude. Marky Mark. I like calling him that. Marky Mark, Mark Levin.
But we call him Micro Mark now.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
We call him Mike, courtesy of...
Megyn Kelly's been going pretty hard, pun intended.
Which he deserves. Like, and I don't know if you saw the video I played earlier, but or if you've seen it online where the guy says, you know, "We're not going to defeat Tucker Carlson. We have to humiliate him."
Right.
It's like, okay, I heard you had a tiny dick. So what next? Like, okay, you want to play the humiliation game, you dirtbags? It's just like, they cannot compete on a factual level. They have to try humiliation. The problem is that in and of itself is a strategy, because then they can point to Megyn Kelly and go, "Look at this. She's unhinged. She's crazy." When really it's a year and a half of persistent, like, bothering her and insulting her and saying bad things about her. Finally, she snaps and is like, "Well, F you." And it's like, oh, my God, Megyn Kelly is so crazy. Well, why would she say this?
Well, that's the hypocrisy that they engage in, right? That's the cognitive dissonance that they engage in. It's like, it's fine for us to attack you, but if you ever attack us, you know, like, we're just going to get rid of you. Well, isn't that Israel's foreign policy as well?
Yeah, but the crazy thing is, it doesn't even have to be attack. Like, it's one thing if it's like, you deserve to die. No, you deserve to die. It's more like,
sure.
You deserve to die. I don't like what Israel's doing. She deserves to die even more. Like, it's like, Bengali never threatened anybody. Like, sorry. Well, it's like what you're saying is true, but it's like so much worse even than you're saying because it's so disequal.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's another aspect to it, right? Whereas, like, here's the thing. Like, people want to, like, we're going to destroy your reputation. We're going to humiliate you, X, Y, Z. Well, you barbecue and kill children, okay?
Right.
So, like, the priorities here of what Americans care about, they want to laugh at something on their phone more than they want to stop child murder.
Mm.
Like, that's where we're at right now. And the whole cutesy game of, Trump's with, you know, Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro and Lindsey Graham. And, you know, he used to hate him. Now they love each other. And people on the far right people on the far right that support these evil monsters that we have in office right now. They go, well, you know, I have my disagreements with Fetterman and with Lindsey Graham. And they're working really hard to back the president's agenda. And, you know, that MTG and that Massey, they ain't backing the president's agenda. And it's literally like leader worship, cult worship, like God worship. They treat Trump like he's a god.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also sucks because he is doing all of the stuff that they always accused him of doing. Like, that's like the craziest part.
That's the final, like, humiliation for us.
It's like, oh my God, he really is a foreign agent. He really is like completely unhinged and like saying stuff that isn't true and changing it. It's like, they always like to portray that, but if you paid attention, you could always tell, like, okay, Trump's trying to play him here. Okay, he's being a little vague with this answer, but we know what's really happening. But now it's just like, okay, all of the stuff they said, it's all true. And it's the same thing. I mean, it's always the case with the GOP. 99% of the time, they're true Americans. They say all the right stuff. And then it comes to Israel, and they're just like, kill them all. We have to kill them all. And it's like, you become the parodies of yourselves whenever Israel gets brought up. So Trump has just become the parody of himself. He is fully confirmed all of the worst things they ever said about him.
Yeah, and you know, it's really tough to defend him for 10 years. I mean, I remember in high school having to learn the facts of the Russia hoax, so I was able to debate people on the Steele dossier or the Mueller report. I mean, you remember the Mueller report and all that? Like, think about how ancient that is. And really, it's not ancient. It's only, you know, a few years, like a decade away from where we're at now. But politics is like the blink of an eye and also slow motion, like all at the same time. But we're sitting in this era now where we have Donald Trump, who's gone through all these things that we backed him and supported him through. And then he just turns around and drop kicks us. And we're sitting here. We're not the ones that left the party. The party left us. OK, and it's not our responsibility to have an undying support for any sort of dear leader or dear party or any of that. That's communism. That's fascism. That's what it is. I can't call it anything else. It drives me up a wall. I mean, you think about this. You played the Tucker thing earlier. I was watching the show. You played the Tucker thing. Very interesting. When you played the Tucker thing, can you imagine the headline of Donald Trump, criminal foreign agent intelligence investigation into Tucker Carlson a year ago, 2 years ago? Can you imagine that?
There's a lot of stuff I cannot imagine.
No, it's a hell world that we've woken up in. It's the roofie party. Like, it's mega.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it's just, I don't want to just say the same thing over and over, but it's like, Ben Shapiro was a never Trumper. And you know, the really interesting thing is, if you read the articles from Ben Shapiro when he was arguing against Donald Trump, he uses exactly the same words and phrases that he now uses to criticize Tucker Carlson.
Yes.
Ben Shapiro was calling Donald Trump an isolationist. He was calling Donald Trump all the things he calls Tucker Carlson. He was calling Donald Trump that. So it's kind of like when Jordan Peterson was
clean your room.
Yeah, he's calling Nick Fuentes. They're all deep. It's just the dark triad, and it's just like blatant, just attempted.
He's wearing
censorship.
A Riddler suit. While he says
he's wearing some multicolored, you know, question mark suit the whole time. And but he is like trying to. You threw me off with the Riddler.
I'm sorry.
Thing.
I'm bad.
Not costume. No. But he tries to like impart his, you know, basically just like criticizing and hatred of Nick Fuentes with this like, actually, it's a psychological phenomenon known as the dark triad. And people look into it and they go, wait, you said the same thing about people who didn't want to get the COVID vaccine. This is just a facade of like academic legitimacy that you're just placing over what is at the end of the day just like pure just hatred, just baseless hatred.
It's all AI speak. It's all, you know, generated garbage, HR talk, HR protocol. That's what these people engage in. Anyone who's pro-war will engage with that with you online. They'll do whataboutism, they'll do non sequitur, they'll do ad hominem attack. And that's like, hey, that's not an argument. You have to provide an argument. If we have an argument against it, do you have an argument for it? Can you argue for it? And here's the thing, even people that are tacitly supportive of this, like people like the Quartering and others. Here's the thing. You do not get to support this current administration in its current form, what it's doing. Like, this is wrong. Okay. And if you don't call it wrong, you're not going to have a political career in a few years. So you might want to think about that.
I mean, it's just true. And again, this is the thing that doesn't make any sense. It would make sense if it's like, okay, they're doing this because it's cynical and political and whatever they're going to, but it's like, so you're at the end of this, you're going to be less popular. You're going to have nothing. Like, what even is the play for that?
They think that they're going to set up the new system in time. And I think that they're grievously in error on that. I think they're grievously wrong on that. I mean, you look at RFK and Tulsi Gabbard, you'd think that for a future political campaign, senator, president, whatever they would run for or in a position in another administration, they would resign on principle and take that political capital forward into another administration or political agenda, right?
It'd actually be a good move.
It would be it's a no-brainer. You don't have to go to political science school to understand these things. That's like the basic thing that you would do if you war gamed it out.
Yeah, 100%. And again, just the absurdity of people like you and I who I know people have heard the story before. You've told it a lot. But I don't think people understand like what this means. You were one of the key reasons why Alex started looking into Donald Trump.
Yes.
Helping Trump got him elected in 2016. That was testified to under oath during the trial, was that like Alex Jones and his support of Trump was crucial.
Butterfly effects, crazy, ain't
butterfly
it?
Effect. So like in a very big way, you are literally responsible for the situation we're in Rex.
It's weird. You know, all pebbles that fell into the pool, right? I mean, here's the thing. Like I was with my dad when I was 15 and we were watching that first Republican debate and Trump's on the stage doing the whole Megyn Kelly thing. And I recognized the aura, the zenith, the zeitgeist of his energy. And I was like, well, this guy's obviously going to be the president. My dad goes, you're stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. That's not going to happen. They're going to swamp him out and you're not going to be able to win. And look what happens. And I kept pushing. I was like, hey, you know, Trump's going to win, right? Trump's going to win. I like Trump. And he was like, okay. And eventually, you know, he got on board and had him on the show. So
yeah. And the world has never been the same for good or ill. But for people like us,
we all believed in him, man. And like that,
and worked for him and suffered because we worked for him. And it took me a little bit longer than it took you. You were, you know, ahead of the curve on that. But still, since 2016, I've lost friends. I've changed my whole life, you know, over the support of Trump. And it's like for people like us to now be told by people like Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro.
Disgusting.
It is genuinely insane. Here's a great example. I'm sure you've been seeing this article go around by Matt Van Swole. Matt Van Swole wrote an article called "The Right Has a Podcast Problem and It Might Cost Us an Election."
Sounds like the left to me. Well, that's the exact same thing they were saying about Rogan, wasn't it?
It is literally it is actually the woke right. But there's a whole article about how, you know, the right wing, you know, anti-Israel people are going to cost us the election. Sam Parker points out this guy, Matt Van Swole, literally posted a picture on October 1st, 2024, saying, "I officially became a Republican. Today I voted for the first time as a Republican. Use your voice, make change." So literally became a Republican 1 month before the election. He's now out here telling people like you and I, who have suffered and struggled and fought for Trump for 10 years, that we don't belong here anymore because recent convert Matt Van Swole says so.
Right. Well, here's the crazy thing. I don't know how old Matt is. Let's say he's 30 years old, right? I've been doing this since Matt was 18.
Right.
And God knows what Matt was doing when he was 18. Who knows what job he had or if going to school, going to college, whatever. We've been doing this for a very long time. That's why we have the credibility that we have. And unlike all of these other people who are grifting off the social media engagement and the dear leader worship and the worship of the peace president, quote unquote, we're going to have careers and jobs and work after this because we're not reliant on this one administration. And that's where the worship comes from. They built their own mainstream media. Mm. That's what they did. And they made an influencer network. They didn't go to the channels. They didn't run ads. They figured out how to do it with engagement alone. And they manipulate that, in my opinion.
And it could have been a great thing if it had actually, you know, benefited the American people. But instead, they are now all cheering on our total and abject destruction. It's really inexplicable. Like, I'm just continually amazed at where we are in the modern world. It demands explanation because it is not obvious on the, like, from looking at normally everything is obvious. Like, that's what I feel like is throwing me off, is that for the last month, it's like, I don't think anybody has any idea what to do. Normally somebody knows what's happening and is pulling the strings. And so we are just trying to identify who that is and what their purpose is. It's kind of hard when it doesn't seem like anybody has a plan and nobody is doing things that I like. I don't think Israel is in charge of the situation. I don't think Trump is in charge of the situation.
It's a disaster. There is no plan to trust. There is no plan to trust. There is no plan to trust. They tell us trust the plan. They tell us patriots are in control doing the Q signaling and all the weirdness. There is no plan. You cannot pretend that there is a plan. There is a war that you said was not a war that you said you've won every single day, and it's still going on. That's where we are.
It's weird.
Win, 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 fight, 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 bomb, 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 kill, 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 steal, 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 censor, censor, censor. That's me. That's what I do now. Agenda 47, 47 years, 47 years Iran's been evil. They're trying to get a nuclear weapon. That's why I had to kill little kids in the school. I had to bomb the school because I had a nuclear weapon. It's just, it's not true, Donald. We all know it's not true.
Crazy. It's crazy. What do you think about the fact that nobody will help us try to shut the... Well,
they know. And here's the claim. He goes, we've destroyed 95-99% of their Navy, their military, whatever. Their Navy, their military, the things that Trump has claimed we've destroyed, they're all vestigial. Their real weapons are in caves. It's the smaller boats. It's the missile systems, the giant underground missile and drone silos. And guess what, Donald? The Strait of Hormuz, I saw Hegseth comment on this. He goes, or someone else, I think it was the Energy Secretary, excuse me. He goes, the Strait of Hormuz is open. It's just open to Chinese and Indian ships only because the Iranians will only let those pass through. So they know they've lost.
Yeah.
No, they know they've lost the conflict.
Hegseth, the Strait of Hormuz is open, except for the missiles.
That's right. It's like, that's right. You know, Amber Heard is going to let me be her pool boy. Shout out to you. But she doesn't know that I exist. So that's a big problem.
These things are fine. It's fine. And again, this is the thing. It's like, I don't know, in a way... It's like Trump did just – it's almost like he started to believe the lies, like he believed the crap they said about him.
You got to understand. Real MIGAs roll deep. Okay, that's MIGA, make Israel great again. That's something Trump has said himself. He is a MIGA. Okay, so we have to understand that through the – that's the lens we got to understand it all through. It's not logical. It's not rational because they're real MIGA.
It's just making Israel great again.
That's right. MIGA.
It. Yeah, I just okay, how's that going for Israel? Like, that's the other thing. Israel is being bombed to smithereens. Do you think Netanyahu's alive or dead?
That's a good question. Let's get into that after the break.
All right, we'll study that after the break. And we have a lot of AI videos to go to. We'll be back with the third hour of The War Room. Rex Jones in studio with me. Follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z. You can also go to shroomforce.com.
Shroomforce.com.
Everybody's going there.
Everybody loves mushrooms. They say, Trump, how are you so smart? How are you so tough? I say, well, you know, it'd be a lot smarter and tougher if I took Shroom Force mushrooms, shroomforce.com. Thank you, Harrison. I appreciate it.
That's actually not a bad impression. We'll be right back.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 bag, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So By the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallshows.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theallshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theallshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.